It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. Welcome to an hour of variety. Later on, we'll hear command performance from Armed Forces Radio with a slew of stars. But right now, it's Paul Whiteman Presents from August 15th, 1943 on NBC.
By the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Tenderleaf Tea, with the Whiteman Orchestra and Chorus, Roy Bargy of the Whiteman Alumni Association, our guest Jimmy Durante, yours truly Bill Goodwin, and starring Dinah Shore.
Good evening, everybody. Hiya, Pop.
Hiya, Dinah.
You got that rhythm?
Yeah, man.
Does the spirit move you?
Sure, sure.
Well, then let's get rolling with Revival, Dave. Have you ever had a sermon stir your soul?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Make you crave that river Jordan for your gold.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Repenting and atoning on this Bible day. They're talking to the Spirit just like they see and hear it. They're sinful and they fear it on this Bible day. When the congregation starts to sing, nothing in this world don't mean a thing no more. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Don't it make you feel peculiar? Oh, the devil, he can't rule you on this Bible day. All the devil, he can't rule you on Revival Day. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. On Revival Day.
Gee, that was... Well, Dinah, wonderful.
Thank you, Bill.
Say, tell me, how did you happen to take up singing, anyway?
Oh, well, it's a long story, Bill.
Yeah?
First, I studied the piano for about 2 years, and then I studied singing for 2 years.
I see.
And then I couldn't decide whether to continue my career as a concert pianist or make singing my life's work.
Well, that was a big decision. How old were you at the time?
5.
A ripe old age. You know, Dinah, childhood is a wonderful thing. Why, when I was a boy with tousled hair, I went through life with never a care. To remain a child was my only wish. Then some guy slipped me a copy of Esquire.
Oh, yes, Bill. Childhood was a lot of fun. Remember those little boys who used to chase the girls all the time?
Yes, yes, I do. Whatever became of them, anyway?
I think they grew up and joined the Navy.
Yes, sir, I'll never forget my school days. Why, I can see our teacher now, Miss Weftlobber.
What did she look like, Bill?
Well, she was sort of the Mrs. Pruneface of PS 12. Cute kid. Ah, those were the days. I remember every afternoon we had gymnasium class. So all morning I wouldn't do a thing. Just loaf through all my other classes.
Well, what'd you do that for?
I was saving myself for gym.
How about you, Pops? Do you remember your school days?
Do I? I used to walk 6 miles a day through snowdrifts 10 feet high just to get to school.
Gosh, did you like school that much?
No, but it's better than hanging out in the pool room.
Hey, you sound like you were sort of a problem child, Pa.
Yeah, I was difficult even as a baby. They tell me my nurse used to walk the floor with me all night long.
Well, didn't that make her pretty tired?
No, but after a while, she got awful bow-legged.
Well, just the same, it's a lot of fun to look back to the days when we were kids.
Yes, it is, Dinah. I'll never forget our high school graduation. The principal called me up to make a speech. I walked out on that big stage and gazed out at that impressive audience.
Well, what did you say, Bill?
Well, Dinah, I said, no more coffee stamps, no more rationing. But flavor, more flavor, and even more flavor is still Chase and Sanborn's order of the day. Favorites, Pops has certain numbers which he calls tintypes, or Old Uncle Ezra's. Such a tune is one we all remember, Good Night Ladies. Al Sack, by way of a new arrangement, has taken this Uncle Ezra in hand for a contrapuntal shave and a haircut. Paul Whiteman and the orchestra bring us their up-to-date version of Good Night Ladies. August the 10th, 1943. A modern streamlined train pulls into Union Station, and Jimmy Durante's nose arrives in Los Angeles. 10 minutes later, another train pulls in, and Jimmy himself arrives. And now, with a bow of gratitude to the railroad for delivering its precious cargo safe and sound, we present the noted traveler himself, Jimmy Durante.
Thanks. Thanks, Bill Goodwin, and what a trip it was. You know, Bill, on the train, I seen a lady giving a baby milk before putting it asleep. I said, lady, you shouldn't give the baby milk before putting it asleep. She said, why not? I said, look, you give the baby milk. The baby tosses in her sleep, and what happens? The milk turns to butter. The butter turns to fat. The fat turns to sugar. The sugar turns to alcohol. And then the first thing you know, the baby wakes up with a hangover.
Well, Jimmy, that trip was quite an experience. And now may I welcome you to our little show. My name is Dinah Shore, and you may call me Dinah.
Thank you. My name is Jimmy Durante, and you may call me at Hillside, 7241. You know, if a man answers with a strong, masculine, romantic voice, it's me.
Jimmy, I understand you're a graduate of the Chase and Sandlin Show.
That's right, Dinah. If you don't mind my lapsing into the academic, I might even say I'm an alumnus.
You mean alumni?
Listen, Miss Shaw, just because I can't say that word, it doesn't make me an ignoramus. I wonder what did.
You know, Jimmy, when I hear you on your own program every Thursday night, it's hard to believe that it was way back in 1933 that you were on this very same show.
Yes, Tempest Fidgets.
Did you get your start in radio on the Chase and Sanborn show, Jimmy?
No, Dinah. I started long before that. When I went on the Chase and Sanborn program, I was already a veterinarian. When I first started in radio, Major Bowes was just a private. Captain Midnight was 10:30, and John didn't have another wife.
In other words, Dinah, Jimmy and radio practically grew up together.
That's right. First, I grew some. Then radio grew some. And now, look at us.
Yeah. Gruesome, isn't it?
Let that laugh be a birthday present.
Say, Jimmy, what was your specialty on those old Chase and Sanborn shows?
I played the piano. You've heard of Paderewski? You've heard of E. Toby? You've heard of Rachmaninoff?
Yes?
Well, they never heard of me.
Say, I understand, Jimmy, that you appeared in Carnegie Hall, Town Hall, and the Metropolitan Opera House.
Yes, but I had to give it up, Dinah. It was too much work for one janitor.
Oh, Jimmy, you're just self-deprecating.
I'll thank you to speak English, Mr. Goodwin. Who do you think you are, George Bernard Schwartz?
Hey, I heard some of your old records, Jimmy, and they were grand.
Thank you, Dinah, and I can still remember my debut. I steps out. Jealousy already. I steps out on the stage wearing a high hat, frock coat, spats, a Nascot tie, and a mole cue in my eye. I sits down at the piano. I plays a melody of symphonies. First, I starts off with a bit of Mendelssohn, then a hunk of Mozart, then a pizzicato of Beethoven.
Well, how did you finish?
Flat on my back. Of course, I'd be glad to show you what I did in my first Chase and Sanborn program, Dinah.
Oh, we'd love to hear it, Jimmy.
Okay, but I gotta have help from the orchestra. Who's the leader of this aggravation? Paul Whitefish?
No, Jimmy, it's Paul Whiteman.
Oh, they got two leaders? Well, anyway, here's the way it went. I just sat down at the piano, ran a piece of dental floss through the keys, and I sang a little masterpiece I wrote especially for Chase and Sanborn, like this. Now, once upon a time, they sang the Bodio Dope. But that was long ago. Then everybody started into boop-boop-a-doop. They started like this, you know. Paul, I'll give you $50. You show me bloop-bloop in the music. Show me bloop-bloop in the music. He's showing me the music. Too bad I can't read. I'm surrounded by assassins. But the tune for you and me. Very unnecessary. Is that swingy symphony they called it ink? Adinkity, adinkity, adinkity. Oh, what a tune. A-dinkity, a-dinkadoo, I'm carried away with the melody. It's got the whole world spooning. Paul, let me hear those trumpets. That's not a trumpet. That's not a trumpet. That's a trumpet. A-dinkity, a-dinkadoo, simply means it. A dinkity, a dinkadoo. Now, a dinkity, a dinkadoo, a dinkity. Let me hear that band, Paul. What a band. A dinkity, a dinkity, a dinkadoo. Why, it's got the whole world.
Never know.
You know, Paul, I'm taking voice lessons. Yeah, Sinatra can't last forever.
Among the talented alumni of the Whiteman Orchestra, and at present an outstanding musical director and arranger on his own, is Roy Bargy. During his 12 years with Paul, Roy's interpretation of The Rhapsody in Blue helped make it one of the classics of modern American music. Ladies and gentlemen, Roy Bargy.
Thank you.
Well, Roy, how does it feel to be back with Paul?
Fine, Bill. It's a little overwhelming to be here with a man who knows so much about the finer points of music.
Oh, you mean Paul Whiteman?
No, Jimmy Durante.
Oh. Roy, when did you join the Whiteman Band?
It was back in 1928, and Paul was about to take the band on a world tour.
Don't tell me you signed up just for a free trip to Europe.
No, Paul, but it helped.
Well, just to let the folks know what you used to do around here, Roy, let's give them a sample of the good old Rhapsody.
Okay, I'll do my best, Pop.
With Roy Bargy at the piano, Paul Whiteman conducts excerpts from George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue.
with us again next week when Dinah, Paul, and all of us will be here, and our special guests will be Victor Moore and Billy Gaxton. The visiting member of the Whiteman Alumni Association will be William Frawley. Meanwhile, when it's coffee you're buying, ask for Chase and Sanborn coffee. When it's tea, Tenderleaf brand tea. Chase and Sanborn coffee, Tenderleaf tea. Two favorites for days like these. Ask your grocer for them both. This is Bill Goodwin saying goodnight from Hollywood's Radio City. Night, everybody.
Paul Whiteman presents on Tuned to Yesterday from the 15th of August, 1943 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of old-time radio variety on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for the Armed Forces Radio Service program For the Troops Command Performance, featuring a host of stars, from Maxie Rosenblum to Frank Morgan, John Conti and Francis Langford, and hosted by movie star Pat O'Brien. In the year of this next broadcast, he was in four motion pictures alone, three of them being war dramas, including the Oscar-nominated picture The Navy Comes Through, with Jane Wyatt, Jackie Cooper, and George Murphy. Pat O'Brien plays MC in this next episode from April 23, 1942.
Command Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world.
Command Performance.
Presented this week and every week till it's over, over there. Hello there, men. Here's Command Performance number 10, sparkling with the brightest stars in Hollywood, who have come out tonight just for you. Our first letter is from Private First Class GRT, whereabouts known but censored. He says,
Dear Command Performance, a lot of us out here saw Pat O'Brien, that great picture, The Fighting 69th, and we'll always remember his characterization of Father Francis Patrick Duffy, regimental chaplain. Well, maybe it's just our imagination, but we've got a chaplain here who reminds us a lot of Pat O'Brien. Do you suppose you could get Pat to come on and say a few words for us?
What do you think, buddy? Here he is, one of the entertainment industry's biggest names and a guy with a heart to match, Pat O'Brien.
Thank you, Paul Douglas. And hello to Uncle Sam's fighting men all over the world. And incidentally, thanks, Private First Class GRT, for that grand letter. I suppose all of you at one time or another have heard of the Hollywood agent, the man who represents the artists and for this earns 10% of the performer's salary. Well, on Command Performance, there's no 10% for the agent, no 90% for the stars, just 100% for you. Here's our first letter. And you better listen sharply, because it's about the size of a fast telegram. From Jose Field, Puerto Rico.
Dear sir, I would like to request Sammy Kay to sing Dear Mom, Please, for my own dear mom. Thank you.
Private M.R., only an American soldier could say so much in so few words. And here's your answer. Sammy Kay with his orchestra and Dear Mom.
Dear Mom. From a soldier boy to his mother, these words by Alan Foster.
Dear Mom, the weather today was cloudy. Howdy and Dan. Your package arrived, but was missing a stamp. Your cake made a hit with all the boys in the camp. How they love it. And Mom, the food is okay, don't worry your head. I sleep pretty well, but I miss my old bed. And oh, how I wish they'd make this army co-ed, still I love it. If you should run into a certain you-know-who, please do this for me. Give her a kiss for me. Tell her to write me nightly, dear Mom. That's all for tonight. The bugle just blew. Tomorrow's a big day with plenty to do. I like it here, but I'm kinda homesick for you. For I love you, dear Mom.
Thank you, Sammy Kay and company. Now, our weekly ration of news from the sporting world, presented by that popular man about town and former light heavyweight boxing champion of the world, Slapsy Maxie Rosenberg.
Thanks, Pat, and hello, fellas. Gosh, there's so much going on in the sports world, I hardly know where to begin. Let me see now. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Mo, how did my brother get in there? Of course, you know the big news today is baseball. Last year, I was manager of a girls' baseball team myself. I'm afraid we're not going to have the team this year because all those girls became riveters at Lockheed. Of course, the big thing today is night baseball on account of everybody's working in defense plants during the day. The other night, I pitched a game. It lasted 23 innings. The umpire finally called the game on account of daylight. You know, a lot of people ask me how I could stay out there pitching so long. 23 innings. You know why? Because I'm a human domino. But I guess I'm afraid I'll have to quit soon because my doctor said I may get hit with the ball and get contusion of the brain. Next week, as you probably know, they're running the Kentucky Derby. This year, I'm not going. No, sir. No more betting on horses for me. The last horse I bet on came in so late, he had to tiptoe into the stable so he wouldn't wake up the other horses. Now for some news about boxing. I read in a paper where Max Schmeling had given up his plans to make a comeback. While shadow boxing in a gymnasium, he mistook his own shadow for Joe Louis and said, "That's all, brother." By the way, I don't know if you fellas heard. This week, Abe Simon announced his retirement from the ring. I saw his fight with Louis, and I don't blame him. In the middle of the sixth round, Louis hit him and knocked him right through the ropes into my lap, where I was sitting in the first row. I said, "Get back there and fight." And Simon said, "Why should I? It's the first time in my life I ever sat in a $10 seat." Thanks. I read that. Well, I was going to thank Pat again. Well, fellas, I told you all the sport news. Now I'd like to ask you a favor. Really, I would. In visiting the camps, a lot of the soldiers showed me around, and I kept asking a lot of silly questions. Finally, down at Fort Knox, one soldier walked up to me and said, and he called me an imbecile. Well, what I'd like to know, fellas, is that higher than a second lieutenant? Well, I want to thank everyone for giving me this opportunity to say hello. And good luck to you all. So long.
Thank you, Maxie. Thank you. Nice pitching and nice switching, too. Out there on the highways, along the high seas, you men of the United States Merchant Marine are delivering the goods for this big business of war. Command performance is for fighting men only. And that means you, for they don't come any tougher than you guys. Tonight, especially for all of you in the Merchant Marine, that famous swing group, the Merrimacks, take an order for full steam ahead and give out with Hey Mabel.
When she's walking down the street, all the boys yell mighty sweet, Hey Mabel, wait for me. When she wears that diamond ring, all the boys begin to sing, Hey Mabel, wait for me. She's as popular as a gal can be, a household name in every family. But the one she wants so bad ain't the guy who yells like mad, Hey Mabel, wait for me.
There's a girl who lives next door to me. She's got the fellas all of a dream. They go for her in a great big way, but she won't give them a tumble. And here is what she'll say.
When I'm walking down the street, all the boys yell mighty sweet,
Hey Mabel!
Yeah.
Wait for me.
When I wear that diamond ring, all the boys begin to sing,
Hey Mabel!
Mm-hmm.
Wait for me. She's as popular as a gal can be, a household name in every family.
But the one I want so bad ain't the guy who yells like mad,
Hey Mabel! Wait for me. When she's walking down the street, all the boys yell so sweetly, Hey Mabel, listen to me, Mabel, wait for me. When she wears a diamond ring, all the boys start in singing, Hey Mabel, listen to me, Mabel, wait for me.
She is just as popular as a gal can be,
and she has a wonderful personality. But the one she wants so bad ain't the guy who yells like mad, Hey, hey Mabel. Wait up, wait up, wait up for me.
Thank you, our gratitude to the Merrimacks. Now here's a letter from KRC, who's with the Coast Guard somewhere in the North Atlantic. He didn't give his rank, but he says this. Dear Command Performance, our gang hardly believed it at first when you said right to Command Performance and the big stars will answer your requests, but you're doing it, and no box tops either. And so here I am requesting Frank Morgan. We'll all be looking forward...
Oh, excuse me, Pat. May I intrude?
Well, if it isn't John Conte. I kind of expected you'd be popping in, John. There's a telegram here for you.
Oh, thanks. I wonder who it's from. Let's see. Please see that Frank Morgan must be sure of you on this on April 23rd. Well, I'll be hanged.
You will? No kidding. Well, what is it?
This wire's from the radio sponsor that Morgan and I work for, Pat. Morgan's promised to write an article for them about coffee.
Coffee?
How does that guy get the nerve to sell him such a bill of goods?
Excuse me. Is Mr. Morgan here?
No, he's not here yet.
I'm from the printers. We printed an article for Mr. Morgan about coffee, and I brought the proof for him to look at.
Well, you better leave the stuff with me. I'll see that he gets it.
Okay.
Well, I still don't believe it.
I don't know why you're so suspicious, John. Frank must know what he's doing.
I guess so. Last week he did go to Maxwell House, and I've got the proof in my hand.
You can't have proof of anything, Jockey. I never stayed at that hotel.
Right.
Now, listen, fellas, I don't know what you're trying to hang on me, but I swear I got those towels for a press.
Frank, we're not talking about towels.
You're not?
No, I got a wire about the article you promised to write. And here's the proof from the printers.
Oh, article, proof. Oh, yes, let's see that, Cockney. Maxwell House Coffee, an authoritative investigation. If you'd will. Oh, no. You can't hide a pin that on me. What? He's,
Gee, this is interesting.
Hello, Meredith Wilson.
Hello.
Oh, stop it. What about the article, Frank?
Yes. In conclusion, I would say this coffee is the finest coffee blend ever put on the market. and his flavor is enhanced by the regular grind and the drip, Frank Morgan. Now, just a minute. There should be a period after that drip.
Frank, tell me one thing, will you? Well, why would anybody come to you for an article about coffee?
Are you serious, Jockey?
Yes, I'm serious.
For generations, the Morgans have been coffee growers, starting with my grandfather, Silex Morgan. Trickling down through my Aunt Filter. And settling on the grounds of my Uncle Java. I'm losing my grip, fellas.
Did your ancestors just raise coffee beans?
No. My family have long been exponents of scientific agriculture, raising every conceivable kind of vegetables, and the name of Morgan is synonymous with crop. Those Japanese beetles have been at my notes.
Frank, I can't follow this.
No, well, it's taking me a little time to get my bearings tonight.
No.
But when you speak of the soil and the fascinating products of Mother Nature, you strike a responsive chord in my breath.
Well, give him a chord, Meredith.
An A-flat, if you please. No!
Now, you cut that out, John. Go on, Frank.
Yes, I'm not going to waste any more time around here. I'm going home to my conservatory and dilly with my dahlias.
Conservatory?
Yes.
Are you talking about that window box on your back porch?
I'm referring to my 10 acres under glass, Jockey. A gorgeous tapestry of flowers. Botanists come from miles away to tinker with my rare blooms, toy with my delicate ferns, and pinch my exotic fruits.
What do you do with all that stuff?
Well, it's my sole recreation these days.
I see.
Every morning I get up early while the dew still sparkles on the grass, and in my bare feet I wander slipshod through the cowslips. And I've got to...
He's getting into it now, folks.
Then on my way back, I snatch a kumquat from a low-hanging bough, pinch a mango to see if it's ripe, and carefully examine my citrus crops for curly leaf.
Citrus crops?
Yes, 1,000 trees heavy with oranges. And I can remember when I didn't have a pot to smudge in. I tried to raise.
Yes?
Time and again, I failed to bring the bud to full growth on account of the depredations of the plant pest known as Limax gastropodia.
Limax gastropodia? What's that?
A small slug.
I'll have a straight snort.
No chaser?
Just water.
Well, I'll take ginger. What are we doing?
You stop that, John. Go on, Frank.
Thank you, Meredith. Where was I?
Fooling with some young buds.
Yes. They were pretty high school girls, and I didn't... I said... Wait a minute. I'm going home.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry, Frank.
What?
Did you ever raise the black orchid?
No. Fate was against me.
Really?
When I got rid of the slugs, I battled aphides. Then came a siege of pincer pants. Ants. Believe it or not, gentlemen, for 9 long weeks... I had ants in my plants. I finally gave up in disgust and went on to some other experiments.
Oh, I know just how it feels, boy. Back in Mason City, we had some skunk cabbage on the South 40, and it drove us all...
Oh, silence!
Sure.
I was determined to produce a black flower with an attractive odor, so I engaged a young female botanist to assist me.
Uh-huh.
She was quite experienced in an unsophisticated sort of a way, and we spent many happy days together in my greenhouse.
Experimenting?
Of course. Yeah. She was a pretty little thing, always neatly dressed in a garden costume as she worked
on hybrids. Blue? Well, she wore shorts, but you could all bloom.
You mean flowers?
Yes, the flowers. Certainly. Soon came the eventful day when I finally developed the black rose. I won the first prize.
Hold it. I was waiting for that.
Oh, you were?
You say you developed the black rose?
Well, I was one of the first. Didn't I?
You did not.
Oh.
The black rose was developed by Father Richard.
He did?
Better known as the Padre of the Roses at Santa Barbara Mission.
Oh, Father Barbara. Well, when the blue carnation first bloomed, I was the
you
one...
You had nothing to do with it. That was Burbank's.
It was, Burbank.
Yeah.
Glendale, Pomona. Well, I Meredith.
I can't think of anything, Frank.
No. You know about, botany, cotany?
Plentany.
Well, I guess I won't bore you.
No, you don't, Frank. Let off a lot of steam here tonight about raising flowers. Now tell us one thing you've experimented with.
Now look here, my forward young bumpkin. I'm not going to stand
please,
around.
Frank, for my sake.
Well, all right. Jockey, inasmuch as you're so familiar with plant raising, possibly you've heard about my experiment with the common forget-me-not and the bachelor button.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't. Well, then I can speak freely. Recorded in the annals of the American Horticultural Society, you'll find a complete record of how I toiled ceaselessly to graft the bachelor's button onto the forget-me-not.
Did you finally do it, Frank?
I did, my boy.
And what was the result?
Zippers. Well, so long. Thank you, Francis Lankford. And now for the fighting men everywhere, we give you George Burns and Gracie Allen.
This is Gracie Allen, your Hollywood reporter, bringing you the latest inside gossip about...
Oh, I see. You're going to tell the boys what's going on in Hollywood, huh?
Well, sure, George. A soldier isn't interested only in the front he's fighting on. He's interested in the home front and all the other fronts. He's interested in Lana Turner and Betty Grable.
Never mind.
Well, I'm just bursting with news about film stars. Now, boys, take Ann Sheridan, for instance.
How long will that offer be open?
Oh, oh, George, I've got some marvelous story to tell the boys about Dorothy Lamour and Paulette Goddard and Hedy Lamarr. But first, don't you think I ought to tell them about Edna May Oliver? Forget it, huh?
I would, yeah. And if I were you, I'd forget the whole thing.
Well, I don't know why. I know my uncle was in the last war. He was a field marshal, and I used to write him all the gossip.
Your uncle was a field marshal?
Well, no, he wasn't exactly a field marshal. He was more like a Marshall Field.
Marshall Field?
Well, sort of between a Marshall Field and a court plaster.
Huh?
Well, what I mean is, every time he was plastered, he got court martialed.
I see what you mean.
He was more like a brigadier general.
A brigadier general?
Well, no, he wasn't exactly a brigadier general. He was generally in the brig.
He probably was a second lieutenant.
That's what he was, a second lieutenant.
Yeah. And he liked all the gossip about Hollywood.
Yeah, that's why I know the boys will like it.
Mm.
So, fellows, I have a little surprise for you. You'll soon receive those nice backless sweaters that I've been knitting for you.
Just a minute. You've been knitting backless sweaters?
Well, yeah. The Red Cross told me to knit some sweaters for the boys at the front.
Now I know where that old joke comes from. I see you're back from the front.
Oh, please.
Well, it's bad, but it's all right.
Well, now here's a piece of scandal, fellas. The studios won't let Gene Autry or any other cowboy star sing Deep in the Heart of Texas.
I give up. Why not?
Well, because when they get to that part where they clap their hands together, they always fall off their horses.
Well, I hope Gene Autry doesn't fall on his guitar.
His guitar?
His guitar.
Oh, and boys, here's a piece of inside information that's absolutely exclusive.
Go right ahead.
I found out the real reason why Veronica Lake wears her hair over one eye.
Why?
She likes it that way.
Well, I hope the FBI doesn't find out about it.
Oh, and boys, here's something you'd never guess. Madeline Carroll is very nearsighted.
Wait a minute. She's nearsighted?
Yeah, George. I was out with her the other day, and she said, "Gracie, don't look now, but here comes the wolf." And when he came up close, it was Bob Hope.
I see.
You know, she ought to wear glasses.
No. Look, Gracie, a wolf is a fellow who's always running after girls.
Oh, I see. Bob likes the girls, I gather.
That's right.
I bet he likes the girls he gathers,
too. That's right, too.
Oh, and fellas, if you ever meet Irene Dunn, there's something I want to tell you about
Irene
Gracie,
Dunn. What's Irene Dunn doing?
Done doing. George, what kind of English is that?
What English is that? I says, what's Irene done doing?
You mean, what's Irene done?
Gracie, isn't Irene Dunn a motion picture star?
Yeah, I saw her in Penny Serenade.
Well, that's the picture that Irene Dunn did.
Dunn did? Done doing.
Look, Gracie, when Irene Dunn does a picture, it doesn't mean that Irene Dunn done a picture. It means that Irene Dunn did a picture, and the picture that Dunn did is what Dunn's done.
Well, I've got to go now, boys. Come on, George. I'll take your left arm, and the nurse will take your right. Don't worry, nobody can hurt you.
Oh.
So long, boys, and good luck.
Well, fellas, that's it for this time. Before we say goodnight, though, we want to take a moment right now to tip our hats and to tip our hearts to you fellas up there in the front line. This is Pat O'Brien saying so long to each and every member of Uncle Sam's armed forces. And by the way, if you happen to bump into a certain paper hanger, give him a little pace just for me, will you?
Command Performance on Tuned to Yesterday from April 23rd, 1942, from the Armed Forces Radio Service. And that brings to a close this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.